Praise God. Well, we've come to delve into the word of the Lord here this morning. And scripture that has come to me, I want to share with you this morning. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 17, 18, and 19. Praise God. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 17, 18, and 19. And the Lord is speaking to Jeremiah here. And he says, "Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." Praise God. Praise God. And I want to focus on that word prevail there. "But they shall not prevail against thee." Amen. That means that we will prevail. That means that we will win. That doesn't mean that there won't be a fight. He said, "They shall fight against you, but they shall not prevail." I'm so excited today to be on the winning side. Praise the Lord. So excited to be on the winning side this morning. I want to talk about the power to prevail today. Amen. Let's pray and let's ask for the help of the Lord this morning. Thank you for the Word of God, the powerful Word of God. Thank you for the preaching of the Word this morning. Anoint it to our hearts and let it find its mark in every heart. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Amen. The word prevail here means to be able. And when we look at the word prevail there and the definition of it, then we understand today that we have the ability to prevail. It means to be able. We are well able this morning. And there are more that are for us than there are against us. Amen. We have the ability today to overcome and to be victorious. Praise God. And when we talk about living for the Lord, living for the Lord is the way of victory. Amen. And this victory that we're talking about this morning, and the joy that we're talking about this morning, doesn't come from within, but it only comes from one source, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. The reason I say that this morning is because Jesus Christ is the only one who has all power and authority. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Praise God. Go therefore. And that's what we want to do. We want to go and we want to share and we want to be the light of our world. Praise God. And when it comes to living for the Lord, you know, it's kind of like the old saying that it goes, it's not what you know that matters, it's who you know that matters. And sometimes we look at that in a negative way, but for us, it's in a very positive way. Amen. Because it's not what we know this morning, it's who we know. Praise God. And we know the one who created all things. We know the one this morning who can do all things. Praise God. And when you know him, when you know Jesus this morning, then there really is nothing to fear. And I know that is sometimes it can be like a cliche, but when the time of trouble comes, we can stand strong in faith, praise God, and make it through a time of difficulty. And I believe that we are headed for a time of difficulty in America, and not just America, in our world. Amen. And sometimes trouble comes not of our own doing, but it comes because of other people's sins. And I want to work on that a little bit here this morning, because America is sick this morning. America is sick from the head to the toe, and there is much sin in our nation, there is much sin in our world, and we have not caused that, and America will face the judgment of God for her sins. But right in the middle of that system, or that government, or that country that we call America, and the same was true for Jeremiah, that nation called Israel, and the capital city, which was Jerusalem, there is a church, praise God. Amen. Right in the middle of that, there are those that are praying, there are those that are sharing the word, there are those that are letting the light shine. Praise God. Thank God for that. And we're here this morning preaching the word and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But I know well enough, I've been around long enough to know that we look around us and we see people going their own direction, doing their own thing, and we ask the question, does anybody want to live for God? Is there any hungry hearts anymore? Well, praise God, you might as well just nod your head a little bit this morning, because every pastor that I talk to tells me the same story, and we reach out, but there seems to be no fruit sometimes in our reaching out. But I do know one thing this morning, that when we sow the word of God, there's going to be a harvest that takes place. Praise God. And what we need as the people of God is a word of encouragement to put all things in the proper perspective here this morning. And that's exactly what I would like to do. And it doesn't matter what's going on. I just want to say today that we're on the top. Amen. We are not down beneath, but we are on top of everything that is going on. Not because of what we know, but because of who we know. Praise God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And sometimes it seems like we are the underdog, and evil has risen, and there is no way to stop it. But you know, our job as the church is not to stop evil in our world. If we did that, we'd have to get tanks and guns and all of that. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Praise God. We don't fight with guns. We worship the Lord. We preach the word of God. And it's the Lord that does the work in this earth. Praise God. Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Praise God. And so there is a will of God for this earth. There is a master plan that the Lord has for each of us. Praise God. And Jeremiah no doubt felt this way when he was receiving the word of the Lord. He was a lone voice. And as far as I can tell, he was a contemporary of Isaiah the prophet. And they were men that preached of the coming of the judgment of the Lord upon Israel. And they had a message that some could come along and say, well, that's just a negative message, and you're not going to do anything positive with a negative. But folks, I want you to know that just about probably every prophet, maybe I could just go ahead and say that every prophet in the Old Testament had a word of judgment for Israel. That's right. Oh, they had a word of encouragement from time to time, but the truth of it is they had a message that was not received well by the people. And Israel had gone into idolatry and was not interested in hearing a message of going back to the old paths, even though that's exactly what they needed. Praise God. And I tell you what we need in our generation is to go back to the old paths. Well, somebody said, praise the Lord. That's exactly what we need in our generation today. Amen. We're in that place here in America where some 60 million, somebody gave me the figure the other day, since the 70s, there are over 60 million unborn children that have perished. And how can we hold back the judgment of God when we are so sick with sin from this street corner to the next street corner? It is everywhere. It is prevailing all around us, seems to be prevailing. And the judgments of God are surely around the corner. And what we need in our generation is not some fancy thing to make people feel good about themselves. What we need is some preaching. Praise the Lord. Amen. What we need is a prophet. Amen. What we need is a man of God that has heard from the Lord and is willing to stand without fear or favor and preach the word of God. Amen. Because the word of God is very, very powerful. And as a preacher and you as the people of God, we sometimes feel outnumbered and we feel that our voices are not being heard. And in fact, to add on top of that, there is rising in our world an anti-Christian sentiment followed by a rise in persecution and hatred of the church. Hatred of anything that says it's a church. Doesn't even have to be preaching the truth. Amen. But there is a coming judgment upon our world. I'm not just talking about America. I'm talking about countries like Russia and China and North Korea, and the list could go on and on. The country of Iran and many of your Muslim countries. There is a rise in persecution and hatred of anything that calls itself Christian. And it is, I believe, a sign of the times when you see countries that are taking a certain group of people, putting them in concentration camps and trying to re-educate them. And China is doing that. I'm not going to get off into all of these details here. But China is doing that, and there are many, many other countries that are doing it as well. But I read to you this morning from Jeremiah, and he said, gird up your loins and arise. I think that's exactly what we need to do in this generation. We need to gird up our loins, and I read about that. And to gird up thy loins is actually like a belt around your waist. And they had long flowing robes. They didn't dress like we do. And to gird up your loins was to get your clothes tight around you so you could maneuver, so you could do work, so you could go to war, so that you wouldn't have all this flowing stuff all around you hindering you. And I think that here the Lord is trying to tell us that we need to gird up our loins and arise and speak to them all that I command thee. Praise God. It's time to be vocal. Amen. It's time to say what we need to say and not to say it in a condemning or looking down on somebody else, but with love and compassion, we need to tell them Jesus is the answer for our country. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord, because we know from the prophecy of Daniel, I believe it's in Daniel chapter 2, and he talks about the image that was terrible, and it had a head of gold and breast and arms of silver and all of that. But the point that I would like to make this morning is that there was a stone cut out of the mountains without hands, and it smote the image and ground it to powder, and the wind blew it away, and it was no more. Amen. I'm thankful that we live in America. Are you thankful for that?
Amen.
Amen. We've made it through some very difficult times. But the truth of the matter is there are not very, in fact, I don't think there is any culture that has existed for a very long period of time, just a few hundred years, and then somebody comes and conquers that nation and sets up a different rule of government. You say, well, China's been around for 1,000 years. Well, the truth of the matter is the government of China, I think, has only been around for about 70 years. And the communist Chinese, it's been a very recent development. I may be wrong about that. But what we need to do is we need to gird up our loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Praise God. And he said, be not dismayed at their faces. I don't want to get ahead of myself, and so I'm just going to back up here and go back to my notes a little bit, because it'd be easy to get going here this morning. And Jeremiah received two visions of the coming judgments. Jeremiah chapter 1, if you're still there, verse 11 and 12. And the Lord speaks to Jeremiah and gives him a vision or a prophecy of something that is going to come to pass. Jeremiah 1 and verse 11, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And so that was a word from the Lord that this judgment was going to come swiftly upon the nation. We read in other places where it talks about the Lord coming as a thief in the night. In the Old Testament, it talks about the judgments of God coming as a snare that snaps quickly. And one day things are normal, so to speak, and then the next day the judgment of God is upon our world. And I believe that's exactly how it's going to take place. And he said, I see a rod of an almond tree. And I just would read here a little bit of one of the commentaries about that. And the almond tree literally means the wakeful tree. It is because of the, how shall I say it? Because it awakes from the sleep of winter earlier than other trees, flowering in January and bearing fruit in March. And it is a symbol of God's early execution of his purpose. And so when the Lord revealed to Jeremiah this almond tree, or this a rod of almond, he was letting Jeremiah know, you can't mess around anymore, Jeremiah. You've got to go out and preach this word. Amen. We can't just say, well, it's going to come tomorrow, or 3 months there is going to be harvest. Jesus said, lift up your eyes on the field, for they are white, all ready to harvest right now. It's not time for us to say, well, I'm going to do this next year, or I'm going to do this next month, or I'm going to do the will of God next week. What we need to do is wake up in the morning and say, I want to do the will of God today.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And so he told Jeremiah, he said, I've got another vision for you, verse 13 and 14. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot. That's another word for a boiling pot. And the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north shall an evil break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. Amen. So it was a boiling pot. And if you could just picture in your mind a pot and one end of it's open and there's water in there or whatever's in there. Excuse me. In this particular case, what was boiling in this pot was the judgment of God. It was the anger of the Lord because Israel had fallen away from God. They worshipped idols and they were not doing the law and all of that. And so when the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, it wasn't, Jeremiah, this is going to happen sometime way in the future. It'll happen after your life. No, he said, it is a boiling pot, and it is boiling with sin from the people, and the judgment of God is ready to go. We're not going to wait any longer, but we're going to get busy with this thing of judgment. And we know that when Jeremiah prophesied and when Isaiah prophesied that from the north came the Assyrians, or in our modern day it would be Syria. Isn't it amazing that we read about that in the news on a regular basis, that there are those from the north in Syria? And Isaiah prophesied of Babylon, which would be from the east, and from what I've read, they even considered Babylon to be the country of the north. And so when Jeremiah prophesied, he prophesied that the judgment of God was going to come. And the Lord said, out of the north shall an evil break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. And so when a word like this comes from the Lord, I'll tell you what it ought to do to all of us. It ought to make us tremble. Amen. It ought to make us think in our heart, what can I do to help the work of the Lord? What can I do to be faithful to God? What can I do to help somebody else find the truth that we love so much and hold so dear in our hearts? Amen. If you look to your right or your left, you'll probably see an empty spot on the pew. Amen. What we need to do is get people to come and fill those empty spots on the pew. That's the work of the Lord, is to share the vision that God has given to us. Praise the Lord. It is a vision from heaven. You know, it's not, well, I'm not going to go there this morning, but for Israel, it didn't matter to them. But they continued in their ways. They continued going in the direction that they had been going for so long, and probably said in their heart, well, the sun's going to rise just like it did yesterday. Let's not get too excited about this. We can make it. Everything's going to be all right. And they did not listen. They continued in their way of evil. And Jeremiah, when he received this word, and sometimes when we receive this word from the Lord, we are a little bit overwhelmed. Amen. I remember as a new convert, I saw everybody as somebody that needed Jesus. And I was ready and willing to invite them to the house of God and to be a light to shine to them. You know, after time passes, we kind of get settled in our spot on the pew. Praise the Lord. Well, somebody said amen. We get settled in our little spot on the pew, and we forget that there is a world that needs the Lord. But there is a world that is right outside the door of our church that needs the Lord. Amen. Over this way, over that way, and behind us. I was had to go to the dump yesterday and took some things over there. And one of the men that was helping out I knew I recognized him somewhere, and I saw the opportunity, and I said, I know you from somewhere. Did you used to live? And I pointed out the house just north of the church here. And he said, yes, we did. And I said, I forgot your name. And I asked him, I said, are you still going to such and such church? Because I was able to witness to him and talk to him when he lived here. And he kind of dropped his head and he said, no, we're not going there anymore. I said, well, why don't you come and visit our church and be a part over there? And he dropped his head and I could tell that there were things going on. But it was a seed that I planted right there out at the landfill. Praise God. And folks, we've got lost folks all around us. We've got a world that needs God. We've got a world that is facing an open mouth of judgment that is boiling, amen, ready to spring upon the inhabitants of the land. Praise God. And so for Jeremiah, it was no doubt overwhelming and fearful, and especially when the Lord enlisted him alone, amen, by himself to go and tell the news to Jerusalem. That's where it gets very interesting. Praise God. Sometimes, as a pastor or as a preacher, sometimes you stand in the pulpit all alone. Praise God. You really do. And there have been times in my ministry where I pastored in certain places where you just didn't want to look at their faces. I preached a rally up in northern Colorado many, many years ago, and I got off onto some things and started preaching some things that probably you don't necessarily preach at a rally where you want everybody to shout and run the aisles and jump up and down. And it got a little bit tight at one point during the message. And after it was over with, I thought, I wonder if I overstepped my bounds here. But an older minister come up to me and shook my hand. And he quoted a scripture and he said, don't look at their faces. He said, don't look at their faces. He said, keep preaching the word that you were preaching here tonight. Amen. Amen. We can't look at the faces of the people, because when you do, sometimes those faces have a frown on them. And it can get you to the place where if it's not a positive response, then we're just not going to do it. But the truth of the matter is, there is a mandate from God to preach the word of the Lord. Amen. There is a mandate from God for all the people of the house of God to go out and be a light to shine and a witness of the things that you have seen and what God has done for you. Amen. And so the Lord told him to go by himself. In verse 17, we already read that. He said, therefore, gird up thy loins and arise. Praise God. It's not time to be sitting down. It's not time to be saying, if I could do this, then this would happen. So on and so forth. It's just time to get up and get busy. Praise God. And New Life Tabernacle, it's time to get up and get busy. Well, praise God. Don't be dismayed at their faces on the job. Don't worry about what anybody says about you. Amen. You have a mandate from God. You have a call from God to be a light, because there is a seething pot, amen, of the boiling judgments of God that is about to come upon our world. And what the Lord is looking for is a light. Amen. Right. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Amen. We are the salt of the earth. We are the ones that go out and make a difference in our world. And even if we don't make a difference, we have done the will of God. And we have shown people the right way, whether they receive it or not. And he said, don't be dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. And so What we can see here this morning is the Lord knows, and we need to remember this, that when we look at their faces and we see the response, the negative response, if we are not motivated, but if we are moved by their faces, then the Lord said here, I will confound you before them, or I will make you confused before them. There's nothing like someone that has a message, but they're not really, what shall I say this morning, not really convinced of that message. Praise God. What we need is to get that message down in our hearts and just tell them the Word of God, and don't be afraid of the results or the look on their face or how they respond to that, because you're going to end up getting confused altogether. Folks, we've got a message. It's a positive message. It is a sure message. Amen. It is a message that the world needs to hear. Amen. And we're going to see that as time goes on. But thank God for the church. I thank God for the ministry of the Word of God. Amen. I thank God for Bible study teachers. Amen. I thank God for pastors and evangelists. Thank God for apostles and prophets. Thank God for the helps ministry. And anybody that's involved in letting the light shine and declaring the truth without fear. And that word dismayed, the Lord told Jeremiah, I keep saying Isaiah, maybe that's because I'm going to have my Isaiah here in a few days. Amen. That's my grandson. Be not dismayed. That word dismayed there means disheartened and deprived of courage. And so when we go out, we've got to have this message down deep in our hearts. And we've got to know what we're saying and be strong in the message. Praise God. That doesn't mean that you have to be a Bible scholar. It doesn't mean that you have to be somebody that's up on top of your game. All you have to do is tell them what the Lord has done for you. That's what it means to be a witness. Amen. It's like a witness in a trial, and they ask you what happened, and you tell them what happened. That's what a witness is. And we are witnesses of things that we have seen and heard. Praise God. I'm thankful for the church. Are you thankful for the church this morning? Amen. With all of the flesh that's in the church, I'm still thankful for the church. Amen. I have seen troubles in the church. I have seen good days in the church. But you add it all up and shake it all together, and there's no other way I'd rather live than to live for God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so when Jeremiah received this word in verse 18, the Lord gave him a word of encouragement, and I want to do that this morning if I can. And he said, I have made thee. Now the Lord is speaking about Israel, but now he's speaking about Jeremiah himself as an individual. He said, behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city. And so, Jeremiah, I have put a defense around you. And when you go out to fight this battle, don't worry, I'm going to be with you. Praise God. And I've made thee a defense city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. So from the leadership, the religious leadership of the country, all the way down to mom and pop. Amen. Right. Jeremiah, I've called you to preach to them. And when it all comes down to it, Jeremiah, I'm going to be with you. And folks, that's all we need to hear this morning, is that God is with us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Praise the Lord. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. I look at the young people of our church, and there is so much potential and so much ability. Amen. Don't ever get the idea that because you're young, you can't be used of God. I'm telling you what, that's the biggest lie from hell. Amen. The greatest place in your life is when you're young. Amen. When you get older, it's more difficult. Amen. The Bible calls it the evil day. He said, serve the Lord in your youth while the evil day does not come. Amen. And if you're older here this morning, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's harder to get up out of the chair. It's harder to do this, that, and the other. And the wise man said that we need to serve the Lord in our youth. I'm glad that when I was young, I gave my life to God. And if you're not young and you've just given your life to God, you've got a great adventure ahead of you. Amen. And I don't want to diminish from that at all. And so a defense city, it means impregnable, which the two following expressions do import. This is a definition of this. And it should be supported with pillars, not of wood, but of iron. And encompassed with walls, not of stone, but of brass, noting hereby both great uprightness and also strength. And the uprightness is represented by the pillar, and the strength is represented by the brazen walls. Now, get a picture of this. Get a picture. The Lord is speaking to Jeremiah and describing him, and when he walks with the Lord, what really takes place. And he defines or describes Jeremiah as a city. Now, wait a minute. I'm just one person. I'm not a city. I'm just one individual. How important can I be? But the Lord spoke to Jeremiah and said, you are so very important. Amen. And when you come against the enemy, you're not just going to be coming with your little paper book, amen, that I have given you my word on. You're not going to go with your voice. You're not going to go with your strength. You're not going to go with your good looks. But I have made you a city. And when you go somewhere, praise God, when you go somewhere, the enemy of this church, the enemy of the church, is going to look at you and say, here comes that defense city. Praise God. Praise God. And it represents Jeremiah as the servant of the Lord. And not only that, I believe this morning it represents the church.
Amen.
And why did the Lord do that? Now think about it. Pillars. We've got pillars in our church here this morning. And most of the time they would make the pillars out of wood. But the Lord said there are going to be pillars that are made out of iron. Steel pillars that have been shined and polished and no cracks, no fissures, no nothing. Very, very strong pillars. And as I look in the Word of God, the pillar represents people. It represents the elderly. It represents the elders. It represents people who have made a strong commitment to God that are going to stand and hold up the rest of the building.
Amen.
Praise God. We need pillars in the church.
Yes. Right.
And not pillars of wood that can be burned down when a fire breaks out.
Great.
But what we need are pillars of iron. That after the fire and after the earthquake and after all of the things have happened, that pillar is still just going to be standing there, holding up the building. Praise God. We need pillars. Pillars who will support the work of God. Pillars who will just stand there. And the Lord told Jeremiah, said, I've made you a pillar. You are a pillar, Jeremiah. And he probably thought, well, I'm here all by myself. And I'm not doing much myself. It's just me. You know, like the old song, it's me, myself, and I, or my rifle, my pony, and me. Amen. All three things that I love the most, my rifle, my pony, and me. Amen. Like Brother Green's little boy, when they were driving down the road, his little boy said, "Dad, it's great to be here with you today. For, how did he say that? It's me and us." Amen. Me and us. And when we're walking with the Lord, it's me and us. Praise God. Me and Jesus. We're going to make it together. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Walls of brass. Now think about that. Walls of brass. That's not your everyday, average, ordinary fortress. That's not your average city. Walls of brass. Amen. I was doing some reading yesterday about World War II, and there was a defense city that the Germans had built, and it had underground bunkers and underground tunnels, and there were places where when they built that fortress, the concrete was 15 feet thick. It was reinforced concrete that was 15 feet thick, and there was nothing that the Allies had that could penetrate that. They bombed it for days and days and days, and when they went to take it, the Germans popped out of the ground as though there was nothing wrong, and it basically had done nothing to help their cause with all this bombing. But think about it. Think about walls of brass. Now, I'm not talking about little walls like this. If you go to Jerusalem, and I've been there, and you look up at that wall, those walls are thick, thick stone. And, of course, those walls have been torn down and built up many, many times. But think about a wall that is made out of brass. Praise God. Ain't nothing going to penetrate that. You can just go ahead and have a good meal while the enemy's out there beating against the wall, and you're not going to have to worry about a single thing because it's made out of brass. Well, praise God. That's what the Lord described Jeremiah as. And can I say it this way as well? That's the way the Lord has described our church.
Amen.
I look out here this morning, and you know, we could have a lot more people here today, but we are a defensed city. Our strength is not in our numbers, but our strength is in our faith in God and our desire and our follow through of the things that the Lord wants us to do, to go forth and to share the Word of God. And the reason that the pillars are iron and the walls are of brass, verse 19 of Jeremiah 1, it says, "They shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." Well, praise God. We could look at the first part of that sentence there, "And they shall fight against thee," and all of a sudden we start wringing our hands in fear. That means I'm not going to be received well by many. That means that there are going to be those that have rejected and have nothing to do with us. When Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD, there was, according to history, according to Josephus, there was a man that the Spirit of the Lord moved upon. And for a couple of years, he would go throughout the city crying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe unto this city. Woe, woe unto this city." And people would catch him and beat him up. There were those that were compassionate to him and would feed him. And when the Roman armies gathered around that city, a stone was thrown from one of the engines, and it struck him in the head, and the voice was silent, and the judgment of God began to come forth upon Jerusalem, and they destroyed the city, and they overtook the entire country. We're that voice here this morning.
Amen.
And one day there's going to be a rapture takes place, and we're going to be gone from this place, and the voice will no longer be here. Amen. If you don't make it in the rapture, we'll leave a key in the mailbox, and you can come and pray and have church or whatever you want to do. But rest assured that when the rapture takes place, the judgment of God is going to come upon our world.
Amen.
And so what we need to do is get a hold of a word of encouragement this morning. He said, they shall not prevail. They shall not prevail.
Amen.
They're not going to win this battle. And even though we may seem outnumbered, we are the winners in this battle. Praise Amen. God. And this is what I want to encourage us this morning about. Amen. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5. A couple more scriptures here this morning before we finish. Revelation 5 and 5. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. There's one who has prevailed. Somebody said there's only one. And that's Jesus Christ. Praise God. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. And we're going to finish with this here this morning. I want to read verse 7 through 10. And there was war in heaven. Now, think about that this morning. If we want everything to go smoothly all the time, how can we say that or feel that way when there was war in heaven? There's going to be a battle. If there's good and evil, there's going to be a battle. And friend, I want you to know there's good in our country, there's good in our world, but there is evil in our world as well. And what it produces is war. There's going to be a fight, and it took place in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, that would be the devil, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. That almost seems contradictory there, where he said, now has come salvation. Salvation is for the church. Salvation is for people. But where was the devil cast out to? He was cast out from heaven down to the earth. And then salvation came. Praise God. It was after the devil was cast down that he came to Adam and Eve and started all that trouble there in the garden. Amen. But I'm telling you what we need to see is that we are on the winning side this morning.
Amen.
Can we stand together? And not just that we are on the winning side today, but we need to see ourselves as the Lord sees us.
Amen.
And walk in victory. Amen. Wherever you go, you're a pillar of iron. It's not moving. It's not shifting. It's not moving this way or the other with the faces of the people that we preach to. Amen. When you go wherever you go, you're a city that has walls of brass. Get up. Preach to them. Go and tell them. Amen. He didn't say come up with a fancy sermon that everybody would say, oh, that was great. You're a great preacher. No, that's not what he said. He said, go tell them what I said.
Amen.
And what I say is not always popular. Amen. But for those of us that know him, it's popular. For those of us that know him, it's exciting. Praise God. It's exciting to be a pillar in the kingdom of God. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell among the tents of the wicked. David was a pillar. He was a pillar. You know what the doorkeeper did in the house of the Lord? He would let people in that were supposed to be there, and he kept people out that weren't supposed to be there. Praise God. He's called us to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. I'm not going to bring sin into the church. I'm not going to falter in my walk with God. I'm going to be a pillar, an iron pillar. And whenever somebody sees me, they're going to see me as an encouragement to live for God, an edifier of the church, an edifier of others, not someone that sees problems and troubles all the time and nitpicks and tries to find fault. Those are accusers. I don't want to be a part of a spirit of an accuser. And I don't know of anybody that's doing that here this morning. I'm just using that as an example here today. What we need to be are pillars and walls. Walls of brass. Praise God. Praise God. I'm glad that I'm here today. Are you glad that you're here today? Let's pray together right now. Somebody lift your voice with me. Let's pray together. Lord, in our weakness, you are strong. In our inability, O God, you are able. Lord, help us to receive the high calling. The high calling to be a light. The high calling to be used of you. To help this world that is so sick with sin. Help us, Jesus. Help us to be used of you. Help us, Lord. Call the preachers to the ministry. To minister, to wait on tables. To be a servant. To be a minister of the Word of God. Touch these young men. Lord, establish them as pillars, not of wood, but of iron. That when they grow up, they can be an example to the other young people that will come in years ahead. Help us, Lord. Touch us, Lord, as a church. Lay your hand upon our country. Oh, God, a time of judgment is coming upon our country. Help us, Lord, to be used of you in the time of trouble. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord thanks this morning. Can we do that?